Hello and welcome to the
Blog Talk Radio.
Eventually, I will get used to that, I promise you. Hello and welcome to the August 28th edition of Swedeway Digress, Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight we'll be discussing the NASCAR ARCA and the ASA series. This week, our first guest is NASCAR Nationwide Series driver Blake Koch. Blake has created a major fan base in both the NASCAR community and the faith-based market over the past 3 years. In 2009, with only 20 amateur races under his belt, he was recruited by Steve Portengay to join as the primary driver for the Richard Childress Driver Development Team in the NASCAR Camping World West Division. Blake achieved an impressive top 10 finish in his rookie year by finishing the season 8th in points. Richard Childress Driver Development Team reassigned Koch for the 2010 NASCAR West Division, in which Koch was 6th in points with 3 top 5 and 7 top 10 finishes. In 2011, after only 3 short years, Koch went full-time into the NASCAR Nationwide Series. In his first 10 career NASCAR Nationwide races, Koch earned 5 top 25 finishes. He joined an elite group that included Tony Stewart, Casey Kane, and Dale Earnhardt Jr., who also had 5 top 25s in their first 10 NASCAR Nationwide Series races. Throughout the season, Koch battled for the 2011 Nationwide Series Rookie of the Year honors, but fell short by 1 point. He also finished 18th in the driver point standings that year. In 2012, Koch competed for Rick Ware Racing and SR2 Motorsports in the Nationwide Series and signed on full-time with SR2 Motorsports for the 2013 season. After competing in the limited schedule, Koch finished 25th in the driver point standings and earned his career best finish of 11th at the Nationwide Series finale at the Homestead Miami Speedway. Among those achievements in 2013, Koch also competed in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and made his NASCAR Sprint Cup debut at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. 2014 started a new chapter for Koch as he signed on to drive the number 10 Toyota Camry full-time for TriStar Motorsports during the Nationwide Series season. Koch joins NASCAR veterans Eric McClure and Mike Bliss in the TriStar Motorsports stable. Koch has toured the country throughout the faith-based markets and has been a keynote speaker at numerous outreach events, including Promise Keepers Men's Ministry. He has made numerous appearances on Daystar Television Network, Robert Schuller's House of Power, Hour of Power, and many other national talk shows. Koch's ambitions are to promote God back into the American family and encourage everyone to rise up and register to vote. We're now honored to welcome South Florida's favorite NASCAR driver into the Thunderdome. We still have a couple minutes until Koch will be calling in. So let's go ahead and take a brief 30-second break. And a word from our sponsor.
Get ready to relive the greatest rivalry in drag racing history. It's Don the Snake Prudhomme versus Tom the Mongoose McEwen, facing off in the feature film Snake and Mongoose. The movie stars all your favorite cars from the 60s and 70s and includes some spectacular scenes using vintage footage from the old glory days. Get it now on DVD and Blu-ray or download directly to your electronic device. Available in stores, Redbox, at Amazon.com, or online at snakeandmongoosemovie.com/store.
After playing that promo, it reminds me this weekend is the upcoming U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. I've been doing a lot of coverage of that on SpeedwayDigest.com in the racing news section, so I invite you to explore that. Next week, we're going to welcome our first guest from the National Hot Rod Association. Don O'Neill will be on the program. We're also going to welcome Tristan Nunez to the program, who will be discussing his upcoming harness racing event, his upcoming charity race in the go-karts, as well as IMSA news and events. While we're still standing by to hear from Blake Koch, there was a breaking news story this afternoon. Tony Stewart has opted to race this Sunday at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. It'll be his first race back in in more than 3 weeks following his altercation with Kevin Ward Jr., which resulted in the untimely death of Mr. Ward. There is a lot of mixed emotions involving that decision, and it'll be interesting to see whether Tony is able to put the accent behind him and perform, or whether he has some lingering issues that will haunt him in his Sprint Cup career. It will be a very interesting weekend indeed. I'm sure it's not the first time that you're going to hear this story. It's been all over the media. It's been on the news, and I'm sure it'll be discussed heavily in Atlanta. As I said before, this is going to be a busy weekend of racing with the U.S. Nationals there in the NHRA. There's going to be 12 hours of coverage on ESPN2 this weekend of the Metal Yellow Drag Racing Series, which is intense because they normally run it a severely chopped up and delayed, and it'll be good for the sport. It'll be interesting to see how many people show up for the race. The first day of coverage is Friday, tomorrow, at 6 p.m., with qualifying on ESPN, ESPN3, and the Watch ESPN app. On Saturday at 11 a.m., qualifying will be broadcast on ESPN2. And at 5 p.m., it'll also be broadcast on ESPN2. Monday, Labor Day, there will also be coverage at 11 a.m. eliminations on ESPN3 and Watch ESPN app. At noon, the elimination will be broadcast on ESPN2 as well as Watch ESPN. As we're still waiting for Mr. Cook to call in, I just wanted to remind everybody that this weekend the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Nationwide Series will both be competing under lights in prime time at the Atlanta Motor Speedway on August 30th and 31st, and both races will be televised live. The World USA 500 NASCAR Sprint Cup race airs Sunday night on ESPN, with the NASCAR Countdown presented by FireWire Energy airing at 7 and the green flag at 7:46 p.m. The Nationwide Series race, which is where Mr. Cook will be competing, will air on Saturday night, August 30th, at 7 p.m. on ESPN2, also with a 7:46 p.m. estimated green flag time. The race will also be airing in Canada on TSN2 and will air in Spanish on ESPN Deportes. One of the other drivers we're scheduled to have this evening is Josh Reeves. He's raced in the ARCA series. He's also a good friend of Jeremy Mayfield. Mayfield might be appearing in this very program, sometime in the near future, which will be interesting. I will try not to delve into some of the controversies surrounding Jeremy Mayfield. My questions for Mr. Mayfield will be basically focused on his current competitive career in both the Modified Series and the Pro Cup Series. Now, it'll be interesting to see how he's been doing the Pro Cup Series. There's not as much coverage of the Pro Cup as there once was when they were the Hooters Pro Cup. Now they are they have a different name, but they're basically the same cars. The cars are very similar to the cars he ran in NASCAR before his suspension due to the violation of their substance abuse policy. Jeremy Mayfield has, in the past, railed against the NASCAR road recovery because he claims he has nothing to recover from, and he's covered that often enough where I'm not going to open that can of worms on the program when he calls in. But NASCAR seems to have an interesting way of interpreting their own rules at times, and they're perfectly entitled to do that. They are the ones who write the rule book, and they're the ones who enforce it. So it's definitely an interesting topic. It's one that has been talked to death on numerous radio programs. As we're still in the holding pattern waiting for Mr. Blake Koch to call in, I'll go ahead and read off a little bit more information about the NHRA coverage certificate. There'll be expanded qualifying and elimination telecasts that are culminating with 6 hours on Labor Day Monday, the final day of competition. Shootouts for the top fuel and funny car classes will be included in Sunday's telecasts. In addition, ESPN3, which is ESPN's multi-screen live sports network, will air live coverage of Friday qualifying, as well as full day of eliminations on Monday. Four-time NHRA champion Gary Selzy will join ESPN's commentary team for the event, which will definitely be an experience. I've never seen Selzy as a commentator, and it'll be good to see how he does that. Gary Selzy is a very colorful individual in the NHRA garage, and it'll be interesting to see how he works with Mike Dunn, who also has quite a personality at times. While we're still standing by waiting for our first caller, I'd like to go ahead and introduce our next guest. It'll be ARCA racer and NASCAR hopeful Josh Reeves. Reeves isn't an ordinary driver by today's standards. What's unknown about him could be his asset in this pursuit of a career in NASCAR. He's 21 years old from Bassett, Virginia. He had a somewhat average stereotypical childhood, and although he didn't really have much growing up, he made the most of what he had. In 2002, he found himself at South Boston Speedway. Although he can hardly remember what exactly went on at that race, he does have a passion too deep to measure for the sport that he had stumbled upon. Luckily, Reeves had the chance of going to the track with the help of a local hero who taught him about racing and driving that you can only learn by experience. He watched the cars in utter awe at what he had seen, inches apart, sparks flying, smoke from the tires rubbing the competitors' cars. It was something he not only wanted to do, but felt the need to do. Fast forward to his first full-bodied stock car race in 2007. He had the chance to test for a local friend who he met at Franklin County Speedway. After climbing in the car and outrunning the owner, the owner felt the need to give Reeves an opportunity behind the wheel. For the following weekend, the owner himself raced the car. After making it through the entire race, he wrecked in the last lap, totaling the car. Reeves then repaired the race car, and a few weeks later ran the car in his first race, qualified second, and fell to 18th twice on his way to a fifth-place finish. A championship, a Rookie of the Year title, 8 victories, and 16 pole position awards later, Reeves found himself in the largest battle of his life. Luckily, he found a team in the ARCA Racing Series willing to give him a chance. Through them, Reeves was given the opportunity to test the tracks like Talladega and Daytona. In those test sessions, he posted times beyond impressive in his running, times that were well enough to attract attention from team owners and fans, as well as members of the press. Now I'd like to welcome Josh Reeves to the program. Hey, Josh, thanks for calling.
Hey, glad to be on. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. First off, I'd like to talk about your struggle to find sponsors. I know you've discussed in the past the big business that professional racing has turned into, and I was wondering how the sponsor hunt is going.
It's not too bad right now. It's up and down, just like with anything, really. But, you know, it's such a struggle because, you know, I'm 21 years old, and I have to find something that these companies like and that intrigue them, you know, in our sport, and something that people with master's degrees even struggle to do in the same field. So, you know, it's pretty tough for me, and I'm not letting that, you know, become a hindrance, but, you know, it's a struggle for sure.
What are your racing plans for this season and beyond?
Well, for this season, we're just going to run the Salem ARCA race coming up on September 13th. That's pretty much it for this season that I have planned. If anything were to come up, you know, we'd run that for sure. But as far as this season goes, that's about it. I think next season's going to be pretty big for us. We've talked to a couple of teams and been in contact with one team for about a month and a half now. So, you know, I can't wait to hopefully announce something. I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, if it works out, it's going to be great for us. So we'll just have to see.
What's your ultimate racing goal?
Well, you know, any aspiring NASCAR driver, you know, they want to make it to the cup level. I don't care if they say that they want to race in trucks or nationwide. You know, if we have that goal running in the cups or the goal running in NASCAR, it's on the prestigious cup level. So, you know, that's definitely my goal. I'm not really sure whether or not or how long it would take me to get there, but, you know, I'm very determined, very focused, ready to get there. You know, I just got to get the experience, got to get the exposure, and most importantly, you know, we just have to get the funding, have to find the sponsorships that are out there.
I know you had a GoFundMe page set up. How did that work out for you?
Yeah, we were actually able to get enough money off the GoFundMe page to run Salem. Not only to run Salem, but to test next week at Caraway. So that was definitely pretty cool for me and for my PR guy and all of our fans. You know, they're the ones that got me there. You know, I can't thank them enough. And, you know, we worked so hard to get the money on there and literally working for every dollar on there. It was pretty tough, but, you know, we were able to get it done. And, you know, I'm so excited that we were able to bring such great partners along with that. You know, one that's special to me is a guy named John Fry, and he's battling leukemia right now. And, you know, we're going to represent him on our car and hopefully go out and get a win for him. You know, I'd love to see him down there in Victory Lane with us.
That's awesome. Who's your favorite race car driver?
Well, we have this unwritten rule sort of amongst us racers. You know, you really don't want to say that, you know, so-and-so is your favorite race car driver because you may end up competing against them. You know, for me, that's really not the case. But, you know, I really admired Dale Earnhardt when he was living. You know, his style, he was so aggressive, and, you know, he was just the driver that fans could relate to. And, you know, he, like everyone always said, he won the race on Sunday and fed the chickens on Monday. And, you know, he was an all-around blue-collar guy. And I think that's what our sport needs, really. You know, we need somebody that we can relate to and somebody that's willing to go out to, you know, extensive lengths to talk to fans and to build relationship with fans.
What sort of advice would you give someone who was thinking about pursuing a career in motorsports?
Well, it's tough. You know, it can be a gruesome sport sometimes, and it's definitely no easy no easy walk, that's for sure. The best advice I can give somebody is just stay persistent, stay focused. You know, you just have to remember your goal. A lot of times I get discouraged, and I'm a motivational speaker, you know, and it's I'm supposed to be the guy that's always happy and always, you know, cheerful. And but, you know, I find myself getting discouraged because you know, it's so tough. But you just have to stay persistent. Stay focused and just remember your ultimate goal.
How would you address the problem of decreasing attendance and lower ratings that the that motorsports in general seems to have now? What do you think the answer is?
That's a billion-dollar question. You know, it should be a million-dollar question. That's a billion-dollar question. But, you know, it's just so tough to answer that. I really don't know. You know, we're obviously trying multiple ways of changing the competition level of the cars. And, you know, I think it all relates back to money, honestly. I think, you know, the tickets may be too high. The excitement's just not there because there are only 20 cars out of a 43-car field that are competing for a win, you know, just because the caliber of the equipment. You know, we're in an era now where our seats cost $25,000. You know, whoever would have thought? You know, Dale Earnhardt made his seat in his garage for probably $100. You know, now we're running $25,000 carbon fiber seats. So it all goes back to money, you know, and that, I think that that's where we need to focus on. Is making a cheaper and more innovative way to draw in fans and to boost the level of competition.
Would you like to try and take a few questions from anybody who's listening in?
What's that? Sorry, you were breaking up.
Would you be able to take a few questions from anybody who's listening into the program this evening?
Yeah, that's fine. Anybody that has a question, I'd be glad to answer.
Yeah, if you'd like to call in now, the phone number is 215-383-3681. A few moments with Josh Reeves. How do you feel about the Tony Stewart coming back to racing this weekend?
I'm excited, man. I'm glad to see him back. You know, he's been away for a while, and obviously his fans are missing him. You know, you can be on Twitter for 2 seconds and notice that. So, I think it's good. I think it's real good for him and for everyone involved in that organization to see him come back. I really think it is.
What's your favorite racing memory so far?
I have quite a few. You know, obviously, you know, my first win. You know, that was pretty memorable. But just getting the opportunity to test an ARC car at Talladega and at Daytona, the biggest track that I'd ever been on prior to testing Talladega was a 3/8-mile bull ring. You know, fastest we had ever gotten on it was like 75, 80 miles an hour. And, you know, I had to perform right out of the box at 185 miles an hour at Talladega. So it was definitely a moment where I found out how courageous I really was. So that's probably my most, one of my favorite moments in racing so far.
Given the recent talk about the chance of moving the NASCAR finale to Las Vegas, how do you think how do you feel about the series still ending its season here in Homestead in South Florida?
You know, I think it's all based on tradition. You know, a lot of people really enjoy Homestead, and I think Vegas would be a great place to end it. But, you know, there's just so much hype that goes into Homestead, and it's just it just feels like a place that you know, you cap off a championship night with, I guess because that's all we've really ever known it to be for at least the last few years. You know, they just built so much anticipation going into Homestead. So, you know, if they were to change it to Las Vegas, I'm sure it would have that same feel. But just knowing that it has been at Homestead and we're accustomed to it being at Homestead for so long, I think that's why, you know, it really hasn't changed. You know, it just seems fitting.
Well, that's about all I have for you this evening, and I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. You know, I'd like to thank everybody first for helping me on the GoFundMe page. Everyone who sent in donations, whether they were on the GoFundMe site or private donation, you know, that's where it starts, is your fans. And those guys and girls, they've really helped me. You know, obviously I wouldn't be running this ARCA race without them. And I just can't be any more thankful than what I am. So everyone that donated, all of my sponsors, all you guys, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Again, that's Josh Reeves, and thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you.
It appears that Blake Koch is having some issues this evening, and he hasn't called in yet tonight. Hopefully he'll either call in a little bit later, or we'll have to reschedule for him for a future date. Traveling north of the border to Canada, we'd like to welcome Keenan Magnan to the program. Keenan grew up around race cars, and when he was 15 years of age, he and his father built a Supergas Dodge Daytona tube chassis and dressed it up all small block Dodge. His father ran that car for a few years in drag racing, and then quit racing completely. Keenan's crew chief duties began while he was working at a General Motors dealership. The shop foreman was building a bomber class car and talked him into going and giving him a hand. When his car was done, he ended up winning everything. In 2006, Keenan was out of money for racing and got a call from one of the other competitors, Scum and crew chief. At that time, the series had evolved into straight rail late models. They ran the first season together with the Gold-style car and went on to win the WestCar OK Tire Challenge Championship in 2011. In 2012, Magnan made his move to NASCAR as a member of the crew in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series for Trevor Siebert. Shortly thereafter, he ended up crew chief for Riley Siebert, Trevor's son, in the ASA Late Model Series. He and the 19-year-old driver set a couple of track records, as well as made it to the podium a couple of times. Later in the year, he and the younger Siebert ran three races in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, including their first road course. In 2013, Keenan worked full-time for Sheldon Mayert and the team 6 late model, as well as competing for Rookie of the Year in the NASCAR Series with Riley. Out of 5 rookies, they came up 1 point shy of the title. In 2014, he is competing with Sheldon Mayert in the ASA Series, and is currently sitting in 6th in points with 2 races left in the season. The ASA has gone through a few changes in the past few years, and when I did most of my work for Examiner.com as the West Palm Beach HRA Examiner, I used to get lots of updates from the ASA headquarters there in Daytona Beach. Lately, I have not gotten hardly any updates from the ASA series. It'll be interesting to hear what Keenan Magnan has to say about that. Hopefully, he'll be able to shed some light on the changing nature of the American Speed Association. As I stated previously, next week we're going to have Tristan Nunez on the program, as well as Don O'Neill. I'm also working to try and get a couple of drivers from the International Hot Rod Association on the program next week, and we can turn it into a drag racing episode halfway and a halfway sports car episode. It'll be something a little bit different. At this point, I'd like to stop and give a shout-out to two of the partners that I have for this webpage. The NASCAR Zone is one of the main partners. They help me out with NASCAR information from time to time. You can look them up on Facebook by typing NASCAR Zone in the search box up at the top. I've also been doing a lot of work on the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder Facebook page, which hopefully some of you have discovered. The easiest way to get to that is to type in Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the Facebook search engine up at the top of the page. Or you can go directly to the page, facebook.com/SD, Thursday Night Thunder, one word. And that will get you directly to the page for the Thursday Night Thunder. On that page, I have the archives of previous episodes of the program, as well as some background information on the guests. I've got pictures of my previous guests, and it should be a very good resource for the program. At this point, we'd like to welcome Keenan Magnin to the program. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for calling.
Right on. No, thanks for having me on.
First off, how did you get your start in the world of racing?
Well, I guess my dad raced my whole life, so as soon as I was old enough to be hanging out in the garage with him, I was doing that, passing him tools and then starting to work on the car. And when all my friends were out riding bikes, I was out there helping him work on the race car. So that's how I got started and hooked, and we all know what happens when you get hooked on race cars.
What's your favorite racetrack that you've competed at and one that you haven't competed at that you want to in the future?
Well, my favorite racetrack I compete at in Western Canada, and like one of our touring series tracks, is Motoplex Speedway in Vernon. It's just a really nice facility and fun to race at. My favorite track, I think, that I've raced at in Canada so far would have to be the road circuit at Trois-Rivières, Quebec. Okay. Just the atmosphere there and the whole everything about that place is awesome. The nights before the race are so fun downtown, and the track is really cool. Probably, I think, my favorite track besides all those would have to be Martinsville. I like short track racing, and that's definitely a track that I want to, you know, hopefully be able to compete at one day, but definitely want to go watch racing there for sure.
That'd be pretty cool.
Definitely.
A couple of years ago, the ASA seemed to be on a growth spurt with racing tracks all over the world and even showing up on television from time to time. Now the sport seems to be taking a slightly lower profile. How do you think the racing in the series is so far, and do you think they need more exposure?
I mean, ASAN is probably a little bit different than it is up north of the border. Honestly, I don't think that we get any promotion up here, and I really wish that they would promote it. I mean, you tell people you're going to an ASA race, and they look at you like you have three heads. So you say, well, it's basically like a NASCAR. And then, oh, okay, I got you. So, yeah, it definitely could use some promotion, I think, and would help, you know, the sport grow this side of the border and the other side with promotion. I mean, that's what makes anything grow, right? So,
who's your favorite race car driver, both in Canada and in the overall?
Well, I like watching Andrew Ranger, especially this year. He's back in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, and man, he can wheel those things. He's pretty good. But I mean, I really couldn't say that I have a favorite race car driver. I think they all have their own special talents that I like about, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 different ones that I like something about them and what they do and how they get up on the wheel. And sometimes it's just their attitude that I like. So I don't know if I have a favorite race car driver. I could say I definitely have a favorite crew chief, and that's Chad Knaus.
Ah. Has he taught you anything? Have you mimicked any of his style in your own crew chiefing duties?
Maybe going for the gray areas a little more than I should sometimes. But other than that, I wish I could say I learned something from him. I don't think I'm quite there yet. But man, I like how he does stuff. Yeah, for sure.
What's your ultimate racing memory?
Probably the first time I went to Montreal and raced on the road course. I think it was pretty surprising when you show up at that track and there's, you know, 40,000 spectators there from racing. You know, in the BC in our local touring series here, you get, you know, 5,000-6,000 spectators, and I got off the plane and go to this Circuit Gilvillenneuve in Montreal there, and there's 50,000 people there. It was fun. Definitely a good memory. Yeah. also, you know, obviously I got to say winning a championship and with our six car there a couple of years ago was, that's obviously got to be a pretty good memory too. So we worked hard for it, so I'm never going to forget it.
How do you spend your average week during the season?
This year it's been pretty good. A lot more time at the lake and hanging out with my kids, that's for sure. You know, try and get to the race car as much as I can. But, yeah, this summer has been, because I haven't been doing the NASCAR series this year, so it's only a six-race series that we run in. So I've had a lot more free time. Last year I lived out of a suitcase. 21 races I think I did, and they're all back, just about 90% of them back east. So I spent, you know, about 20 hours a weekend just traveling and then the rest of the time at the racetrack. So lived out of a suitcase and was never really home.
Mm. What's your ultimate
and
racing goal?
And yeah, I'll probably be back on that. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Keep going. What's your ultimate racing goal?
My ultimate racing goal? I'd like to, you know, hopefully we can compete for a championship in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series and, you know, show those guys what we got. I think we gave them a pretty good run last year. We, you know, definitely weren't in the equipment that we were competing against. We weren't in bad equipment, but it definitely wasn't, you know, what we are racing against, and I think we showed them that we were there. So I would like to go back, and hopefully we get the chance to do that with some new equipment next year and see what we can do there. I think Riley Siebert has definitely got the talent to get it done, and if everything else goes right, I think we can make a splash.
That's pretty cool. How's the, how difficult is it to find sponsors for the for racing nowadays? Are you having an issue? Did you have an issue with that?
Yeah, well, to be honest, both teams that I race for are pretty much self-sponsored. So in the NASCAR series there, Riley's family owns an excavating business, and that's the name that's on the car. They really don't have any other sponsors. And even with Sheldon and our ASA series team, you know, it's his own company's on the hood of the car. So it's pretty hard. There's not a lot of sponsorship dollars around. And, you know, it goes back to the whole promotion thing. I think if series like that, if ASA stepped up and promoted racing like that, you know, more, we'd probably have a less difficult or, you know, it would be less difficult to find sponsors. But it is what it is. And when you got to go racing, you got to do it any way you can. So
there you go. Yeah, I know a couple of years ago I reached out to the ASA because I live here in Florida, and I reached out to the people in Daytona, and they had a professional PR guy who was putting out press releases more than once a week, and then all of a sudden it just sort of stopped. And
is that right?
I look at their website. Yeah, I look at their website now. The website hadn't been updated in a while. The Twitter page hadn't been updated in a while. It's just as if they forgot that they're actually trying to bring people to the racetrack, and that's not a very good thing.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, yeah, right now it's basically, I think for our series up here, it's pretty much just a logo on our cars. I don't know if we get any or, you know, what kind of support we get from them. If we do, I'm glad, and I hope we're getting some support from them, but I just don't know what that is at this time. But hopefully that'll change. Maybe stuff will turn around. I mean, I know, you know, with the economy and everything else. But if it does change and they start promoting racing, I think it'll be good. I mean, this year we've had actually our highest car counts in our series that we've had in years, if ever. I think one of our races was our highest car count ever. So, I mean, racing is definitely alive, but it could be that much more if it was promoted, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of the issue. That's part of the reason why I'm trying to reach out to new race fans and competitors and get the word out as much as I can that racing is still alive and well not only in the U.S. but in other countries, and it's about time to go out and support your local racetracks.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program. It was great to talk to you, and I wish you lots of luck in the season.
Okay, thanks a lot for having me again. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks.
Definitely.
Bye. All right.
Once again, that was Ken Madden from the ASA series. He also has a NASCAR Canada experience. Andrew Ranger is the name that most race fans will recognize. He's competed quite often in the United States of America. He's been in not only NASCAR, but he's also been in a few sports car races. And And that's without the, like I said to Mr. Magnet, without supporting your local racetrack, we'll end up losing racing at sport. And NASCAR racing in general is a grassroots sport. And if you don't support your racetrack, whether it's your local track or whether it's a national track, if you don't actually go to the racetrack, then the sport will die, no matter how much television coverage it gets, no matter how much promotion we do, no matter how many times you're reminded that there's a race on. If you yourself do not try to at least get to the racetrack to experience the sensory overload that you get from any racing facility in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, for that matter, then you're just only getting part of the picture, and getting part of the picture isn't a way to go. Once again, and I'd like to thank Keenan Magnet and Josh Reeves for being on the program. I'm unsure why Blake Cook was not able to come with us this evening. I'm sure to remind he and his people several times in the past few days, but I'm sure that there was an issue of some kind, and I will work to get him on the program, possibly even next week or the following week. For my regular listeners, the program will be broadcast on the 4th. The next program is December 4th. The following program is September 11th. I will not be on the air the week after that, however, on the 18th, because I'll be on a planned vacation to Central Florida, going to all the attractions there, going to Disney World, going to Universal, going to St. Augustine, going all over the place. And you can follow me on my new website, which you can find through the Twitter page. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/forborplums. That is FaborPlumbs. And from there, you can get all the information about where I'm going to be traveling to, and read some reviews about the different places I'm going. It'll be as if you're traveling with me, I suppose. I also post the information about the Speedway Digest articles I write on Twitter, as well as the other articles I cover, politics and some other issues. As I stated before, next week we hope to welcome the IHRA Dread Dragster drivers Marisha Falk and Elaine Larson, as well as NHRA drag racer Don O'Neill and Mazda Motorsports prototype racer Tristan Nunez to the Thunderdome, as well as your questions. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at radio.speedwaydigest.com. You can also read my nearly daily articles covering all aspects of motorsports at speedwaydigest.com. Once again, I thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next week in the Thunderdome.